my life that I wouldn't need an outline, but I do to keep me on track. To begin with, I'm a survivor of abuse, not sexual abuse, but verbal abuse and physical abuse. And I can tell you from experience that verbal abuse lasts well into adulthood. I still deal with it at my age. I was trained up as a Methodist, which means I learned church doctrine, not how to worship the Lord. I accepted Christ as my Savior at the age of 9, but unfortunately I did not use that opportunity in the right way. I accepted the Lord out of fear because it was during a revival service in our church, and the evangelist at that time would always hold an altar call at the end of the service, and he would say to us, if you do not accept Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight and you go home and you have an accident on the way and you're killed, you'll go straight to hell because God is not your Lord and Savior. At 9 years old, I knew enough about hell to know I didn't want to go there. And so I trudged to the front and gave my life to God. Now, I think God saw something in my heart that I didn't even know was there because he stayed with me my entire life. My parents were very strong churchgoers, but they did not teach me to have a personal relationship with the Lord. When I graduated from high school, I went to a Methodist-affiliated undergraduate college, and there I met atheists. And I liked those kids so much that I wanted to be part of their little clique, and so I became an atheist and was an atheist throughout my junior and senior year in college. Once I graduated from college and was no longer under their influence, then I became an agnostic. Now, boy, that's really sitting on the fence, isn't it? So I remained an agnostic for about 15 years, even though I went on stage as an operatic singer with only me and my memory. And I tell you, that's really scary. In my late 30s, my doctor here in D.C. said to me, you're going to have a hysterectomy. I had been diagnosed 10 years earlier with endometriosis. I was scared to death of having a hysterectomy because it could kill my voice and therefore my career. So being a perfectionist, I'm also a procrastinator. And so with Hank's blessing, I went to visit a friend in Charleston, West Virginia. She was an alto, and so we had no problem with singing together because I'm a soprano and she's an alto, so we're fine. While I was in Charleston, I became acquainted with the Pentecostals through their TV programs. And if you talk to me today, I have a theology that leans more towards the Pentecostals than toward the Methodist. I developed a hunger for God when I was in Charleston. I sought divine healing for my endometriosis, which I actually received. And I came back to D.C. all healed, which, of course, my doctor did not want to hear. So I went ahead and had the surgery because I didn't know I was healed. I was a complete novice. And afterwards, he was in recovery with me, and I asked him what he had removed because I was so afraid of losing my voice and my career. And he said, I didn't take anything out because you do not have endometriosis. And still being under the influence of the anesthesia and just being me with my big mouth, I out and out said, God gave me a healing of endometriosis. And then I had the slides from my surgery that I'd had 10 years earlier, and 9 of them arrived intact, and every one of them showed endometriosis. So God healed me of that awful disease and saved my career. Thank you. 5 years later, I had pain again, but it wasn't endometriosis. It was a different kind of pain, but it was still interfering with my singing. And this time, my doctor said, we are going to do a hysterectomy this time. By then, I was in my early 40s, so I said, okay, let's go ahead and do it. I did seek a healing service, and I knew that the Pentecostals had healing services, and I knew the Catholics had healing services. And so I went with the Catholics. I figured they had been at it longer. And so Hank and I went to this Catholic church that adjoined the University of Maryland's campus. And while we're there, I'm standing in the healing line and thinking, nothing's going to happen. Nothing is happening. This is a ridiculous waste of time. And I'm standing there. Now, the Holy Spirit had already blown a puff of air on my forehead. That means he's there and he will heal us. But I, again, was a novice. I didn't know what I was doing. So I'm standing there thinking, nothing's going to happen. This is a waste of time. When I noticed that the front of the church was going away from me, and I'm standing there pondering, why in the world is that church moving? When I became aware, it wasn't the church, it was me. I was falling backwards. My catcher had thought nothing was going to happen either, so we had kind of a bumpy landing. I didn't think I had been healed because I still had pain. And so rather than waiting for the manifestation of the healing, I went to another service. These same priests were having a healing mass down on Capitol Hill in an all-black church. And it's important that you remember this is a black congregation because of what happened to me at the end of the service. Anyway, I'm in the healing line. I have prepared myself as I'm supposed to do for a healing, and I'm standing there all ready to receive the Holy Spirit when the worst female voice I ever heard spoke from behind me and said, "Excuse me, can you move over?" Well, that angered me. And so anger just flooded my system because I thought I would never get healed since she had disturbed me. And so I know that the Holy Spirit's not going to heal me if I'm angry. So I'm trying to get rid of that anger as fast as possible. And in the meantime, I'm looking to my left, and here the priest comes. He's about four people away from me. And that's the last thing I remember until Hank and the catchers were picking me up from the floor. So the Holy Spirit had knocked me down. Either he didn't like it that I was angry, or he didn't like it that I didn't wait for my first healing to manifest. I don't know why he hit me, but he did. And he didn't hurt me at all. That's one thing about the Holy Spirit. He's really kind to us, and he didn't hurt me. And so the catchers and Hank picked me up from the floor and put me on the first pew for me to regain my wits. And so I'm standing there, sitting there, trying to get my wits about me, when all of a sudden I realize that I am experiencing the most pure joy I've ever felt in my life. And Peter describes it very well, and I'm going to quote for you from the NIV translation, where 1 Peter, the first chapter, the 8th verse, where he says, he was filled, or we are filled, with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And I can't say it any better than that. It was absolutely the most fantastic joy, and I wanted to experience it for my entire life. Unfortunately, it did fade. The other thing I was experiencing at the same time was that everybody and everything in that church was highlighted in gold. And so as I looked at those people, everybody was bathed in gold. And I was definitely having an out-of-body experience at that point. Hank then came up to tell me he was going to get the car. It was at the end of the service. And so he would bring the car up. And so I waited for him at the back of the church at one of the double doors when I heard a man's voice behind me ask me if I had received my healing. And I turned around to see this man. And this is the reason you need to know it's not a black congregation that I'm talking about here. This man looked Middle Eastern. He was not white. He was not black. He had shoulder-length, curly black hair. It was not frizzy like the blacks. And so I knew I was having some kind of experience. But what so fascinated me about him, he was wearing, and this was in the middle of July, and he is wearing a white linen suit. And I haven't seen a white linen suit since I was a kid. And so I was just enthralled by the suit. And so I answered him with, "I think I received my healing," which is, of course, showing doubt. And you don't want to use the word "think." Especially since I had just gone through what I went through, I should have said, "Yes, I received my healing." Whether you believe it or not, you say it out loud so the Lord can hear you. Then Hank arrived, and I looked briefly at him, and then I looked back at the man I was talking to, and he wasn't there. He was gone, and the church was not that big. He should have been where I could see him. And I said to Hank, "Do you see that man I was talking to?" And Hank says, "There was no one with you. You were by yourself." And so I will leave that with you for you to decide what kind of experience I actually had that night. Now I'm going to skip to the early 2000s when I received a healing for scoliosis. The Holy Spirit appeared to me one night when I was in extreme pain and healed me. In the midsummer of 2011, a family member did something really nasty to me. He betrayed me in a big way. And I spent an entire year thinking about how I would get even with him. And finally, in the summer of 2012, I realized that if I continued on that path, I was going to end up in hell for sure. And so at that time, I announced to Hank, "I'm going to start living a faith life, and will you go with me?" Fortunately, he said yes. So Hank is my rock. Christ had his rock in Peter. I have my rock in Hank, and I'm so glad to have him, and I'm so glad to be here with you. This is definitely where we belong. Anyway, in May of 2013, the next year, I'm praying to the Lord for money to buy a house. And I think I'm helping out the Lord, you understand, by asking him for the money and not asking him for the house. But the Lord wants to give us gifts. And so when I went downstairs to the family room and sat down, the Holy Spirit in English says to me in a voice that appeared to fill the room, he said, "You are praying in pride." And so I reconsidered what I'd been doing, and I thanked the Lord for giving me the guidance. And ever since, I've tried not to ask Lord for the money, and then I'll go find what I want. No, give me what I want. I don't need the money. So Lord doesn't really need help. We just need to be there to help him when he needs us. All right, the last of my supernatural happenings happened in the summer of 2013 when I was born again. And how do I know I was born again? Well, Paul talks about how the old man has to die and we are created anew in Christ Jesus. So I went to bed at night as one person, and I awoke the next day as an entirely different person. And the Holy Spirit had put in me some things that he wanted me to do. And one of the things he wanted me to do was to stop the profanity. Now, I'm coming out of the performing arts where profanity reigns supreme and everybody has a trash mouth. So Hank will tell you that I used to have one of the worst trash mouths around, and instantaneously I just quit it. And now whenever I say darn or something like that, as Harry said to us the other week, I say to myself, "You're not supposed to be talking like that, Joan." So the Spirit will convict me when I act out. So I'm here to tell you that despite my chronological age, which I know some of you are wondering, I just turned 72. And despite my chronological age, I am a young Christian striving to be a mature Christian. And one of the ways I'm doing that is by reading out loud the Bible verses. I need to build my faith, and so I'm studying the Word of God, and I'm also studying Christian literature that illuminates God's Word. One of the best ways to increase my faith is by reading passages in the Bible, that have to do with faith. And one of my favorites is Romans 10:17, where Paul says, and this is the King James translation, where Paul says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." I'm sure there are many of you here who already know that passage. Then the other one that I really like is also King James, and it's Hebrews 11, the first verse. "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So I continue to build my faith, and I continue to read my scriptures, and I read it out loud to make sure that my inner being understands the Word of God. And I thank you very much for listening to me today, and that's my conclusion.